The Fed is rethinking its approach to one of its fundamental responsibilities to the economy. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Tomorrow, Fed Chair Jerome Powell is expected to announce a change in how the Fed thinks about inflation. Controlling inflation and promoting employment are the two pillars of the Fed's job. A change in policy could mean interest rates stay near zero for years to come. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
Inflation is a big word among central bankers. We need some of it to keep the economy growing, but not too much. The Federal Reserve has set a 2% target for inflation, a benchmark the economy has mostly missed in recent years. Raising rates and cooling the job market were ways to combat higher inflation, but in a speech Thursday, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is expected to detail an upcoming shift for the Fed to tolerate higher levels of inflation, at least temporarily, to make up for past years of shortfall. This would mean interest rates won't necessarily rise when inflation does, and stimulus can flow uninterrupted to support economic recovery and improve jobless rates. The change is a long time coming. The Fed has been reviewing its monetary policy for more than a year. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
U.S. airlines continue to warn they're going to have to cut a lot of jobs if they don't get another round of federal aid, which is set to end in October. American Airlines said it would cut 19,000 jobs in October. Delta may furlough 2,000 pilots, with another 1,800 taking early retirement. Air travel generally is still down about 69% from last year. But looking forward, tourism-related travel, that could turn around with a vaccine or effective treatment for the virus. But business travel, that may never be the same. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Before COVID, Samuel Chu enjoyed his weekly business trips from L.A. to D.C. for his work as an advocate for several human rights nonprofits. Now he misses it so much, he's been switching his pillow occasionally to simulate sleeping in a different bed.
So much of my mental, biological clock is sort of set and is sort of wired that way.
Business travelers have outsized influence on airlines. They often buy more expensive and profitable tickets, generating more than half of the industry's revenues, says airline analyst Henry Hartevelt.
Business travel is almost as important to airlines as jet fuel.
But many companies have now adapted to doing more virtually, says airline consultant Jay Sorensen.
That is a reflex that has been trained and will not go back to what it once was.
He says that may mean common business travel routes like New York to D.C. or L.A. to San Francisco could be cut back, and some flights might become more expensive. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.2%. S&P futures are up, but barely, less than 0.1%. NASDAQ futures are up 0.3%. Dow futures down 0.2%. That's 47 points. And the 10-year Treasury yield is at 0.712% this morning. Should you be perusing homes to buy these days, you would have an array of information at your disposal, the sale history, the noise rating, and on Realtor.com at least, you can now see another tidbit of information, flood risk. You can see your FEMA flood zone and a property's flood factor by nonprofit First Street Foundation. First Street developed a model to assess flood risk for individual properties over a 30-year period on a scale from 1 to 10. First Street Executive Director Matthew Eby joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are homeowners, do you think, underestimating flood risk?
Well, in the traditional sense of how homeowners looked at flood risk, you typically would look for your FEMA flood zone. And your FEMA flood zone is a determination of whether you're in a 1-in-100-year flood risk or greater in an area. But what it doesn't necessarily do is look into the future and incorporate how risks are changing over time based on a changing environment. So if you're just looking at risk today and using that FEMA zone, then you may in fact be underestimating risk because you're not thinking about the full home ownership period and taking that into account to make decisions.
You estimate 10% of properties in the U.S. are at substantial risk for flooding, 14 million properties. That is 6 million more than what FEMA suggests. Why is your estimate so much higher?
So there are portions of the country that are just not mapped by FEMA. So they look at individual areas that are high population and high risk and tend to focus on those areas with their budget and what Congress allows them to actually do. What we've done is mapped the entire contiguous United States. So that's one of the main drivers. And then the other is that we actually map pluvial flooding, as it's called, or precipitation flooding as an individual risk, which isn't done through the FEMA methodology. So if you have a high area of precipitation risk, we capture that in our model and are able to show that as well.
Your models are forward-looking, and we know that temperature is rising and sea levels are rising. How much is flood risk rising?
Well, if you look over a 30-year period and how that changes, that number goes from 14.6 million to 16.2 million. If you look at risk in certain areas, you see substantial increases, for instance, Florida. And if you look at other areas in the middle of America, you actually see some places are getting drier and risks are going down. So a place like Florida, currently, there's one in five homes that are in the 1% or greater flood zone. And in 30 years from now, that actually increases to one in four, or 25% of all properties that'll be in that flood risk categorization.
Matthew Eby is founder and executive director of the First Street Foundation. Good to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.